When he was asked about the crisis in Peru today, Secretary of State Warren Christopher reiterated U.S. policy on dealing with international terrorists who seize hostages.
We would encourage the maintenance of communications, but the United States has a strong policy against making any concessions, and we'd advise all of those involved to follow that policy.
The United States has not always refused concessions to international terrorists who take hostages. NPR's Ted Clark reports on the evolution of that policy.
In 1969, Washington took a strikingly different position than it does today when urban guerrillas kidnapped the U.S. ambassador to Brazil. The guerrillas wanted their comrades released from jail. Brian Jenkins of Kroll Associates in Los Angeles.
Our policy at that time was to express our wishes to the Brazilian government that it do whatever necessary to obtain the safe release of the American ambassador.
The Brazilian government freed 15 political prisoners, and the ambassador was released.
That policy continued into the early 70s, but the tactic of political kidnapping spread, and more governments were faced with more and more incidents.
And governments became more resistant to the demands of hostage takers. Then a horrific event unfolded at the 1972 Olympics in Munich. Will Grimsley of the Associated Press was there.
After a tense 16-hour siege, two helicopters flew over and parked several hundred yards from the village. The terrorists and their victims, with hands tied behind them, were led to a waiting bus. The bus whisked them to the helicopters. The helicopters flew to...
11 Israeli athletes and five of their Palestinian captors were killed when authorities tried to end the hostage-taking by force. 2 weeks later, President Nixon formed a cabinet committee to combat terrorism, according to David Korn, a retired Foreign Service officer and author of Assassination in Khartoum. He says the U.S. adopted a policy known as the Three No's: no ransom to terrorists, no deals with them, and no concessions.
So that when the ambassador and his deputy in Khartoum, Cleo Knoll and Curtis Moore, were taken hostage, the people in the State Department who were responsible for dealing with this sort of incidents were under very strict orders that there should be no ransom, no deals, and no concession. And what this policy, in fact, accomplished then, this very rigid policy, was that the two men were executed by their captors about an hour or so after Nixon publicly declared, "We will not pay blackmail."
Despite the tragic outcome, this remained the stated U.S. policy for some time, even as Americans were taken hostage one after another in Beirut. Then President Reagan, agonizing over the fate of the hostages, secretly broke with the policy, though he tried to deny it.
The charge has been made that the United States has shipped weapons to Iran as ransom payment for the release of American hostages in Lebanon, that the United States undercut its allies and secretly violated American policy against trafficking with terrorists. Those charges are utterly false.
But in fact, the United States had sent a plane load of weapons to Iran. Some U.S. hostages were released in Beirut, though not all of them. The credibility of the Reagan administration was severely damaged. Secretary of State George Shultz reimposed the no-concession policy that remains in place to this day. But Terry Arnold, former director of the State Department's Office for Counterterrorism, says the policy has mellowed in subtle ways. Some concessions, designed to ensure the safety of hostages and to manage the crisis itself, are sometimes granted. He cites an airline hijacking in 1984.
The hijackers asked for fuel so they could take off again, and they agreed to release some of the hostages in exchange for fuel. They were allowed to take off again. That I see as an incident management concession.
But Arnold, who is now president of a Virginia-based investigative and security corporation known as the Shenandoah Working Group, says some concessions cannot be made to terrorists.
What you do not do, and that's the core of the policy, is you do not accede to their substantive demands.
The U.S. government would not change basic policy, as the Reagan administration did, nor would it release prisoners convicted of crimes to win the release of hostages. One can assume that U.S. advisors in Peru are counseling the government there to adhere to the same policy. This is Ted Clark in Washington.